All right, this morning Edwina has the first reading for you. These will be hopefully familiar words from the beginning of the Gospel of John. If you want to find that in your pew Bible, that's on page 1220. She's going to read to you John, the first chapter, the first five verses. So thanks, Edwina.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Can you all hear me? All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Our Father, we invite you to come into our midst and speak to us this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our ears and hearts to be receptive to the things that you would have us to learn and to do. Thank you for the scriptures, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us through your word, and especially, Lord, for revealing yourself to us through your wonderful Son, our Savior. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Good. All right. Will you turn over now to Philippians, and we'll read chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. All right. You just heard a passage about the Son of God, what he was and is, what his mission was. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says this: Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, that's what you just heard, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Fascinating words, wonderful words. Last week I pointed out that Paul's theme currently in this part of this letter, starting with chapter 1, verse 27, and going down to chapter 2 and verse 16, his theme is that Christian conduct ought to be, as he put it, worthy of the gospel of Christ. Okay, so what is that we've been talking about? What is that? Well, specifically it is doing all that you do in a spirit of lowliness and care, watchful care for the concerns of others. It's to value others more than you value yourself for the sake of mutual affection and like-mindedness. Okay? All of us who are born again, we are born again of the same Holy Spirit. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, the same, very same Spirit. It's not a different Holy Spirit for you than it is for me. In fact, it's the same Holy Spirit that descended upon Jesus at his baptism. Okay, when he began his earthly ministry, we're all begotten again by the same Father. And as I've said several times, the whole purpose for why Christ redeemed you to God is so that we would be fitted together into a single, cooperating, functioning body of which he is the head. Okay, and we had last week a first look at this marvelous passage, which I hope you agree with me. It's one of the best passages in the Bible, Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Okay, so the function of this passage, it's to describe for us or illustrate for us what is the attitude of mind and life that ought to be in each one of us. Okay, and you're supposed to draw a parallel between what you see here as the description of Christ's actions and how you yourself now act and how you yourself think about yourself and how you think about others, and apply that to your own conduct. Okay, the whole passage is about Christian conduct. That's the function. That's why this passage is here, right? Conduct worthy of the gospel is conduct like what you see here. But, of course, you know, you can take this passage on its own terms, if you like, just sort of read it on its own, because it does contain a lot of important information, necessary teaching about the Lord Jesus. I want to say this without reservation, that we have to get the teaching about the Lord Jesus correct, and we have to accord him his proper place. Okay? A person cannot just come up with his own ideas about who Jesus is and, you know, what is the nature of his being, you know, before, during, and after his time on earth. Okay? If we get this is where everybody goes wrong who is wrong. The unbelieving world makes a very critical error when it misjudges who and what Jesus Christ was and is and evermore shall be. Okay, all of the various cults and distortions of Christianity that masquerade as Christianity, so in particular the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, the Quakers, Unitarians, and so on, they sound like Christianity, but they all fail to believe in what the scriptures reveal about this person, this being who we call Christ Jesus. So if you see here, Paul begins with a very direct and plain statement that Christ Jesus is God. Okay, before he even became Jesus. Okay, remember that Jesus is the name that Mary and Joseph were commanded to give to him. Before he ever was called Jesus, he existed already. Okay, so verse 6 says he was in very nature God. Right, this version here, New King James, says being in the form of God. Another version says existing in the form of God. And Paul just sort of lays that plain old fact right out there. This is accepted Christian truth about Jesus, even here at the very early part of Christian history. All right, now I want you to understand something. The full force of Paul's appeal to the Philippians about their own conduct hangs on that point. Okay, that Christ is in very nature God and already existed in the form of God before he was ever born to the Virgin Mary. And I will say this, what you believe about who Christ is and his origins, okay, not that he originated, you know, Jesus never began, but you know what I mean, where he came from, what you think about that heavily affects what you will think about his dying. Who's Jesus of Nazareth? If Jesus of Nazareth is just an ordinary flesh and blood Jewish man, you know, born in the ordinary way to ordinary parents, then his death by crucifixion, yes, still terrible, but many thousands of other men and women also suffered that kind of death. Okay, the Romans crucified thousands and thousands of people. Some of them were bad, some of them were good, some of them were just, you know, to terrorize the locals and make an example of them, you know, just, you know, they're only put to death out of cruelty. Okay, but how then, as far as the function of this passage, how then would Jesus' death stand out as such a supreme example of self-sacrifice? Okay, Paul's argument here about lowliness of mind for you and me really wouldn't be all that strong. Okay, because Jesus' descent from a living man to a dead man isn't really that much more of a descent than thousands of other people have suffered. Okay, the power of Paul's exhortation here hangs on the fact that Christ lowered himself from the supreme height of heavenly majesty to a being of clay, right, to a being of flesh and blood, which, you know, that by itself staggers the imagination. And then, as if that weren't enough, humbled himself all the way down to being put to death in the most demeaning and degrading way ever invented, and deprived even of his clothes. Okay, so as I said, that death is horrible enough. But for the Maker himself to surrender himself to such a thing, that's awe-inspiring, right? It's stupefying. How can this be? Okay, what kind of a love is this, we say? It's the testimony of the New Testament writers that the one that we call Jesus Christ pre-existed the world, You heard it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was, in the beginning, with God. All things were made through him. Hey, this is not just a man who walked onto the pages of history. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Okay, the book of Hebrews says that the Son is the one through whom God made the worlds. He is the very radiance of God's glory. He's the express imprint of God's being. Colossians, Paul says, he is the image, right, the visible image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over creation. By him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, the visible things and the invisible things, including all thrones, dominions, authorities, and powers. All things were created by him and for him. Okay, and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Hebrews says he upholds the universe by the word of his power. At Christmas time, you will hear Micah call him one whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Okay, so it is the testimony of the biblical writers that he came into the world, that he was sent from on high into the world. Later on in John 1, John will say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Okay, it's the true light that lightens every man was coming into the world. And although the world was made by him, the world did not know him. Okay, well, you can say that again, John. The world did not know him. You can find churches that don't know him. Right? How ironic is that, that they meet in his name and they don't know him? My friends, you have to know him. Okay, everything depends on knowing who is Christ. Who is this one called Christ Jesus? Where did he come from? And you can't just say, this is what I think. You can't just make up something. We have been told exactly who this is. Okay, John says, the word of life was made manifest. Okay, that which was from the beginning was made manifest, and we have seen him. We have heard his voice. We've touched him with our hands. We bear witness and declare to you that that eternal life, which was with the Father from the beginning, has been made manifest. Okay, we declare him to you. Okay, Jesus is called that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested. Okay, and in fact, Jesus himself, of course, said it again and again, that he came into the world from the Father. I came from him. I'm going back to him. He said, I and the Father are one. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He prayed, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you, past tense, I had with you before the world was, before Abraham ever was, I am. Okay, you understand? The Bible leaves zero room for a Jesus who was just a specially gifted Jewish man. Okay, as they say, a great teacher, a great ethical teacher, okay? Or even as some claim he's one of the angels. Okay, zero room for that. He is in very nature God. And that is what he was before the universe existed. And that is what he still continued to be all the way down through the course of history until the days of the Roman Empire and the days of King Herod. Then something changed. Okay, what changed? You have it here. He made himself nothing. He emptied himself. Helpless little baby. Okay, you will be with child and you will bring forth a son. Call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sin. Okay, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Okay, little Jesus had to learn to eat. He had to be nursed. He had to be changed. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to read. He had to learn a trade. Okay, he was hungry and thirsty. He suffered pain. It's an open question whether he ever got sick. The Bible doesn't address it. Was he susceptible to germ? Well, he's susceptible. If you cut him, he would bleed. You know, it seems logical to me, although, like I said, the Bible doesn't address it. He would be susceptible to germs, too. I don't know. Anyway, he was just as dependent on God's provision as you and I are. Okay, did you know he never did a miracle until the Holy Spirit came upon him at his baptism? Okay, it was not inherent in the human Jesus to do miracles. Right? He never did a miracle until the Holy Spirit empowered him, and that's when he was 30 years old. Okay, and that's when he began to do that what they're called mighty works. Okay, he emptied himself. He had to make do. He had to trust in God for his daily bread like you and I do. Okay, he knew weakness and fatigue. Isaiah says that he has no special form or majesty that we would be drawn to him, that we'd be attracted to him. We didn't even really notice them standing out in the crowd. He had no particular beauty to attract our notice. We esteemed him not. And you know how Isaiah says that he was despised. All you have to do is read your four Gospels and you'll see it's true. He was despised. He was rejected. Right? He came to his own, like John says, he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. You'll hear people grumble, where did this man get these things from? Who does he think he is? He has a demon. He's a deceiver. He's tricking the people. He's a blasphemer. He's out of his mind. He's worthy of death. See Jesus kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane, alone, sweating, trembling, groaning to God. Right, my Father, all things are possible for you. Take away this cup from me. I'm overwhelmed with trouble, even to death. He told his disciples, I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Okay, pleading with God, take this cup from me. But if it's impossible for you to take this cup from, if it's impossible for the cup to pass from me unless I drink it, thy will be done. Okay, Paul says here, obedient. Obedient. Right? His human nature shied away from what was coming to him, but he was obedient even to death, even the humiliating death of the cross. Okay, the scripture says it is appointed to men to die and then face the judgment. So also Christ was offered to bear the sin of many. Okay, he had to die. He was a man. Okay? In fact, it says he offered himself. He was obedient. Even after all, everybody else forsook him and fled. Okay, and then hear the crowd again shouting, crucify him. We don't want this man. We want Barabbas. Remember the scourging, the thorns, the spitting, finally the cross. Okay, up on the cross, you remember the taunting, the joking, the sneers. People playing games, gambling for his last earthly possession, his undergarment. Oh God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? Right? I thirst, he said, I thirst. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see if there is any sorrow like unto my sorrow. There is the very author of life being deprived of life. And at last, killed, taken down, lifeless, already stiffening, washed, wrapped up, put away, buried, an empty corpse of a man, a husk. Where did he come from? What was he? What is he now? A husk. Therefore, God highly exalted him. Okay? Then, okay, this Jesus, remember Peter preaching, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has exalted, God has raised him up. We are witnesses. God has raised him up and has exalted him to his own right hand. Okay, that's Peter. He's quoting the scriptures, right? The Lord said to my Lord, sit here at my right hand, far above all principality and power. Okay, Peter says in his letter, all angels, authorities, and powers are subjected to him. Hebrews says that having purged our sins, we sang it in one of our songs, right? Having purged our stains, he took his seat above. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high and is far superior to the angels. Okay, you know how Matthew ends. All power in heaven on earth is given to me. Right? To which angel did God ever say, you are my son? None of them. Okay, ask of me, I will give you the whole world for your possession. I'll give you the ends of the earth for your inheritance. In Hebrews, God says to him, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Okay, God calls him God. God commands the angels to worship the Son of God. Okay, you remember in Colossians it says, all things in heaven and earth were created by him and for him. It's your possession. This is where Jesus is now. Okay, and we need to realize a certain thing. He didn't just go back to being what he was before. Do you understand? Started in heaven, came down to earth, went back to heaven. He is more. Now he is a man. Okay, something he was not before. He was not a man before. He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But the Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. He joined human nature to his divine nature, right? Made one out of the two, so as to meet the needs of poor humanity. And when he returned to heaven in triumph, he is something more than he was before. He is now God and man. And that is why the Bible calls him the captain of our salvation, or the pioneer of our salvation. He's a fitting priest for us flesh and blood creatures, because he has been through everything. He himself bore flesh and blood. He has been through everything that men go through. And he was, it says, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Okay, even to having to taste death the way we must do. Okay, he is therefore able to save us to the utmost, the Bible says, anyone who comes to God through him. Okay, he is a man, and he is very God of very God. He's the bridge between man and God. He is only that because he humbled himself to take on flesh and blood. Okay, inasmuch as we are flesh and blood, he voluntarily shared in the same, so that through death, he actually died, through death he might rescue us from death and take away our fear of death. Okay, it says, in every way he had to be made like his brothers. Isn't it amazing that he calls us his brothers? Right? He is not ashamed to call us brothers, the Bible says. He is our high priest. Okay? He represents us before the throne of God for everything that we need and makes propitiation for our sins. That's what priests do. Okay? And it says, since he himself suffered, he's able to help us who suffer. Listen to the voice from heaven. Say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Okay? He's the bridge between God and man, because he was already God and became a man. And forever and ever now, he is both things. Okay, so this is, like I said, he's not a man who was just born of an ordinary. He didn't start low and climb up and up and up until he attained whatever glory. He came down from on high for the sake of us who are down here, transformed us into the likeness of God, transforms us into the sons of the living God. Okay, in all respects, he had to be made like us so that he could save us. Okay, he had to submit to death so that from inside he could destroy death, cancel death. And he says, behold, I am alive forever. Okay, now I think if you compare this to all other religious pretensions and superstitions and schemes that men have come up with, I think you would see how everything else fades into silliness and pretension and foolishness in the face of what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the name above all names, and deservedly so. He is God's chosen and anointed Savior and has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. Okay, what man or woman can overcome death? We're all subject to death. There's no way we can break the bonds of death. Okay, what man could not do, God did by sending his son in the likeness of mortal flesh and died so that he could redeem us to God. Okay, God is the source of life. God desires to give us life. But we can't live and sin. Okay, we can't live forever in a state of sin. Sin brings death. So sin and life are incompatible, aren't they? We can't live forever in a state of sin. And what God did by sending his son, okay, it says he condemned sin in the flesh. He bore our sins. He killed sin in the flesh. Okay, sin has to be killed if we're going to live. Okay, sin has to be killed. It has to be put away, or there can never be life for you. Okay, do you want eternal life? You cannot have it as long as sin is alive. But the Bible says that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Okay, I just want you to hear the voice from heaven. Put yourself there on the holy mountain with Peter and James and John. See the cloud overcome you and hear the voice. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. And the next thing the Lord says is, listen to him. Listen to him. Let all the nations worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Let all the angels bow down to him in heaven. Let the devils lick the dust at his feet. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. That's what we sing. He is Jesus. He is the King of creation. He should be the very center of our life. He is acquainted with grief. He is able to save. He is now today higher than all the heavens, and he is coming again to save those who put their trust in him. Can it be that he is not ashamed to call you his brother? He's not ashamed to call you his brother. So open your mouth, my brothers and sisters, and let your tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise him forever. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you. Oh, how we praise you for your great love to us. It is hard to even imagine what you passed through when you surrendered your heavenly glory and came down to be born a weak and helpless infant. You had to start at square one. You had to walk through the steps that we walk through, and yet you offered your holy and sinless life a sacrifice to God pleasing in his sight. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you voluntarily took on our weaknesses, our frailties, our fatigue, our dependency, our powerlessness, and gave yourself to God in true obedience, lifelong obedience. Lord, we're ashamed to say that we have not shown you lifelong obedience. We haven't even shown you a week's obedience. But we pray, Lord God, that through your Holy Spirit that you give to those who surrender to you, we pray that you would help us to overcome and defeat sin, anxiously awaiting the day when you will transform these lowly bodies to be like your own glorious body, sinless, holy, perfect, and immortal. Come soon, Lord Jesus Christ, save your people. Let the whole nations, the whole world, all nations see your majesty and your power. Let them all bow down at your feet and acknowledge, Lord, that you have loved your people, you have saved your people, you are worthy of praise from sea to sea and from pole to pole. May the whole world acknowledge you as their King and Savior. And I pray it in your most holy name. Amen.